This is Love Seal Church, bearing the tidings of the blessed hope and the glorious liberty of the sons of God. We earnestly pray that you experience a breaking forth in the quantum leap into all the promises of God for you. Gird up the loins of your mind and heart as you obtain mercy to find grace by the word of God coming through God's own servant at this time to you. Be ready for great impartation of the Spirit and life. Happy listening.
Try to live. Said, I want to live. I want to live. I want to live. Can you tell the Lord that you want to live? You want to live as a maiden? You want to live as a married woman? Irrespective of your estate, can you cry that, Lord, I want to live? I don't want to die. I want to live. I don't want my conversation to be the doorway for sickness, for disease, for death to encroach upon my soul. I want to live, Lord. I want to live. Help me to live. Teach me to live. Open my eyes to see conversations of death that I'm holding on to. Help me, Father. Help me. Help me, Lord. Oh, we bless you. Thank you for help. Thank you for help. In Jesus' name, amen. The Spirit of God is one. The scripture she was saying and many things she was saying were some of the things the Lord also put in my spirit. You see, Satan is a wicked Satan. You know, as you, when we hear words, there's a way we should discern. This week, I was just meditating that Satan is not just an adversary. He's also an accuser. Satan will not only be adverse against your movement, he will also accuse you before God. As in, he's wicked. When she was talking about, you know, a woman coming to a place where she can be independent of her husband. You know, there are two extremes. A woman can also come to a place where she thinks her husband is a sufficiency. That's why I say Satan is wicked. There's a way a wife, when you are looking at your provision, you see a man. And when he's not meeting up to that expectation, you begin to resent him. You begin to, you know, hate him. For me, one of the things the Lord taught me was, firstly, is my provider. That when there's a need, I should look up to him. That was a commandment. You know, you can use that commandment that God is my provider. God is my provider. And you use it so much. And like, you know, give excuses. I want to help the ministry. Let this man focus. And then you don't know you are going tangent away. You know, you won't know when. Where, in fact, it's no longer the Lord. You are the sufficiency. You know that thing? That's why I say Satan is wicked. He's a serpent. You know, you can come to a place where you are independent. Maybe you have a husband that tells you no, no every time. Or maybe, really, there's no provision. You know, I'm just trying to say that there are valid reasons. May God give us eyes to discern the adversary. That when the Lord is speaking to us like this, there will be a reason where before your eyes is correct. Where matters happen, you have valid. And you know, women are very intelligent. Forget all this, our fine girl. We are very intelligent. And when you are having a conversation, you have reasons why this thing. And the thing, honestly, if you tell anybody, everybody will rub your head. I'm just saying that, you know, you can build resentment. I just want to say that it's resentment that will make maybe truly a man doesn't have. And many of the reasons he has given you, oh no, my wife, let's not do this, my wife, you know. And in your mind, you can come to that place and supply. You supply rich, you are already moving out of the whole picture of what a help is. May God come to us and show us. You know when she was talking about a woman being a help, you know, and truly, dictionary defined a woman as what? An adult female. You know, dictionary is so funny. They even tell us that it's a biologically, you can be biological or you can identify with the gender You see, like, if you read dictionary for who a woman is, even AI will confuse you. Because the way to look at, let's look at that Genesis 2. You say it was not good for a man to be alone. I will make him a what? An help. Two things she mentioned. A help, that is a supply, a helper. That is why a woman, whether married or not, should not be a place and help is missing. Our real definition, gongong, is house help. A woman, you should not, whether you are married, whether it is a home, whether it is a church, whether it is at work, that help is missing. The fundamental of what God had when he was making a woman was help. You know, that word help, eh? It is one of the root words when they were talking about the helper, the Holy Ghost. I'm just trying to say, you see that this estate that we are in, me, I cannot think of another estate that I would like to be in. But this, you see, this is my estate. I will use it. We have the privilege of being made a bride in the natural. We also have a privilege of being made a bride of the Lord. He said a woman is a help. So, you see, two things the Lord was saying. I will make him an help. That is, firstly, you are help. Say, I am help. And that is why, if you see why mothers, why, you know, elderly women, people scold you when you are not supplying help, is because you are not bearing resemblance to that which you were ordained to be. When you look at yourself as a woman, me and you, what is inside of us is help. Honestly, if we know this, the way you look at yourself, you will never at any point ever think that you are nothing. A woman is a storehouse of help. I'm telling you, a storehouse of help. And that's why if you want a supply or something, you can just get it from a woman. So when they were now talking about our wifehood, then they now brought what? Meat. Because meat now means suitable. So that means that when we are transversing into the marriage estate, we must go through the process of not just being your help. That help must meet a man's need. So many of us, we want to help, but it is in our own definition. You know what I also saw? If you look at that Genesis, he said he made him. I said Bible takes, he took a rib from, you know, there's so many things, you know, in this scripture. But he said he took a rib and brought the woman who he has made. So what he was bringing to Adam, he was firstly bringing help. And when he brought help, Adam discerned her. He said, for this one was taken out of me. The process of taking out, I said that process of being fitted back, it is not moi moi. That's why marriage is, the hard work is that process of being fitted back. Adam first called her woman. You know what, you see what they call us? Womb man. So it is, you see that independent spirit. It shows that even a woman, even look at the name now. Our name, woman, is evolves around a man. It means that actually, God did not make a woman to function alone as an ecosystem. You see why feminine movements that pulls down a gender and lift up another one is not correct. Because both gender were made by God from Genesis 1 to live together. And Adam did not only discern her as woman, then the next state of for this reason, Shalema, are you understanding that, you know, when it comes to the issue of help, a help is formed. A help is made. The Bible says he took the rib and made her. My sisters, please, we were not born made. We need to go through the process of making. And that was one of the things God has used, you know, this our mom to paint to us. The process of being what? Made. When it comes to a woman, say a woman. When it comes to a bride, there are two things. The attire of a bride and the adornment of a bride. Jeremiah 2:32. Because when it comes to a bride, Revelation told us about how the bride has adorned herself. But it says, can a maid forget her what? Ornaments? Or a bride her what? Can a maid forget her what? Another thing for ornaments is also the adornment. So there's the attire and there's what? The ornament. If you also read, I think Isaiah 61:10, he said, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he had clothed me with the garment of what? Salvation. He had covered me with the robe of what? Righteousness. As a bridegroom decked himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorned herself with her what? Jewel. A woman must have attire. A woman must have ornaments. Now, our attire and our garment, I would say, is like our estate. The things that make for our growth. So you can see Ephesians 4, put off, put on. At every point, you know, we put on garments. Garments are things that has to do your wearing, your nature, what you are, your build. You know, part time, we'll change it. In your walk with the Lord, you change it. So remember the marriage supper. You know, that marriage supper. You see, when you read that parable in that Matthew 21, it looks like he invited them. He said the king wanted to make a marriage feast for his son. Now you ask that, where is the bride? Because the bride were actually supposed to come from those company of people invited. Now, he said, when those ones didn't come, he said they now called and they became guests. Because people, it is okay for you and I to be a guest at New Beth. But what is not okay is for us to journey without a garment. You know, I don't know how you came in, but you were a married guest. But the end of this conversation is that you have a wedding gown. You see, that translation says, oh, well, we're having a wedding gown. On a wedding, which had not a wedding gown. You know, there's a translation that says, the one that he was given. Meaning that there was a garment given to everybody. So I'm saying that, and then he did not take it. But I'm saying that, as a woman, our conversation, our growth, say growth. We must pay attention to growth. Say pay attention to growth. We must pay attention to change. You know, when she was talking about the garment of a supernatural woman, the garment of a spiritual woman, you know, we change it. You know, Ephesians 4 talks about put off. When he was talking about putting up garments that makes for a woman that is Christed, that is a spiritual woman. So garment is something that you must have. In fact, based on Ephesians 5, it looks like the minimum garment everybody must put on for marriage is spiritual. But that's not where I'm going to this morning. Because bridal grooming is not about that. It's about adornment. Say adornment. You see, when it comes to adornment, there's a way the Lord painted it to me. He said they are fruit of nature. They are expressions hanging on nature. They are things that you must have to beautify yourself. Have you ever gone to a wedding feast and you are looking for the bride? You go for a wedding and you will know Yawo. How do we know Yawo? Our attire. Our attire, we know that that is Yawo. Are you understand? You cannot that is the bride, because there's a way she's adorned. There's a way she's like, you see, that is how we ought to be adorned on our within. Those are conversations we must have. That is why, you know, that 1 Peter 3:34 in Amplified. He said, let it be the ornament. Did you see what they said? He said, let your adornment. In KJV, he says, your ornament must be mainly not what? External. Say external. He said, it should not be. When they say not mainly, it means that you must also pay attention to the external. You must pay attention to the external. Not what? Only merely external. And that was where Mommy Meg started from. The place of hygiene. Say hygiene. Mommy told us about a sister. I don't know. Of somebody that did not know some necessary hygiene. In terms of even our personal undies. Undies. Hygiene. It's not merely. You know? But it meaning that you should pay attention to what? To it. Wearing another sister's wig. For me, the way you will look at wearing another sister's pants. You are saying, ha, don't, you know, reason, is it not personal something that is touching your body? She's using another sister's towel. You know, many of us were not taught. Nobody had any talk with us. I don't know if people still do it and sit down and tell you what the whole process is. Not just the one that if you touch man, you will get pregnant. But to explain the biology and the process of, you know, how to take care of yourself. If we say everybody remove your wig in some meetings, smell that will hit us. Air freshener will not handle it. If they do operation, remove some things. What you will see. And then, you know, this world has made cosmetic and plastic life real. So by the time you do bang, 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 even, you know, even the makeup that you rub, if they look at the powder, OT cake, if they look at the brush, It is, it, what is Jira? It has, I don't, what's the English? And you are still using it on the face. And you wonder why you have pimples and breakouts. I'm just trying to say, he said, not adornment. When it comes to a bride, or a woman must hone her adornment. He said, when it comes to adornment, it's on you. He said, not merely external with interweaving and elaborate knotting of the hair. Mommy Meg was saying we should make our hair. He said, make your hair. Don't wear wig. I'm wearing one now. But many of us, you see this week, make your hair. Bible said nothing of the hair. Is that another translation? He said, not elaborate at this, you know, make take care of your hair. Let me tell us, if they wanted to just talk about physical, they didn't need to label it for us. They need to say, make nothing of the hair. Make, not your hair. Say not your hair. Learn to make your hair. Some of us, we say, I don't like to do this. I don't like, make your hair. Make. We used to make hair before wig. Wig is a lazy man's way. I'm telling you. Sorry to all my sisters selling wig. And you see, let me tell you, in this community, yes, so we thank God for all our sisters. If it's becoming something that worldliness will encroach, we must put it in its place. Yes, anything that will become, it's true. That is like, you are taking a glory in our community. We want to let you know that we make our hair. So when she was talking about that, please, it's, it went, I'm just saying that for scripture to clearly spell out the issue of hair for adornment, it is a big deal. He said, elaborate nothing of the, and you know, I'm wearing gold jewelry. You know, there was a time I used to look at my hair. You know, it's where you can look at your African hair and you wish you had Indian hair. And you feel like, how come you're not made from God? Except you are telling God that the hair, you know, African Afro hair is because we've not learned how to take care of it. I was reading the account of a woman and she started on a journey of learning to take care of her Afro hair. And the Lord used that journey to teach her contentment in the creation. You see, these things might be little. Might be that from here. But I'm telling you, when people become dissatisfied with their gender, it starts from there. There's a way we can, actually in this Africa, we can look at how come our hair, the hair is very stubborn. There's a way to make hair. Thank God for natural oils. No, there's a way to take care of our hair. I'm just trying to say that many of us, wig has finished our scalp. I'm just saying, I'm not pulling down wigo, but I'm saying that there's what the Lord has given us. And scripture said, nothing of the hair. I'm just wondering why scripture said it, but nothing. That is braiding, Connie Yenny. I'm sure his translation will call it braiding. And not less braid. Praise God. See, another thing he talked about, jewelry. Wearing gold jewelry. You know, taking care of yourself. Looking at how, what fits you. So, wearing jewelry is actually part of adorning yourself physically. You know that? Not jewelry that, you know, wearing jewelry is part of it. It now says, but being superficially preoccupied with or dressing in expensive clothes. Clothes. So clothes is part of our adornment. This thing is telling us that that should not be the focus. But it's not saying, I'm just saying that because, yes, wearing clothes. Please, we need to wear clothes. The world is taking clothes from women. People are dressing in Hondis, are dressing clothes. They call it Asho. You see, there's some fashion that just looks like, where is the clothes? I saw people wear something, where is the Asho? Because what you see is just something else. So when he said expensive, who's adorning? Let it not be that outward adorning of plating of the head. Did you see plating? Wearing of gold or putting on of what? Apparel. You know, I want to talk about clothing. There's a way we must learn how to dress properly. Dress for the occasion. You are going for some occasions. So I've been to some occasions and some things that some sisters wear. I have to say that, did you know this was the event that was happening here? Because that your clothing does not match where you are. It's just, I just like to dress to be comfortable. No, you don't dress to be comfortable. You were given an invitation. So that man that didn't have wedding garments, he was dressing comfortably because he was supposed to have a wedding garment. You can't say I'm dressing for, I just like to be comfortable. I like to wear, you know, the world is preaching many things. We wear canvas, we wear sportswear, on Iran, Baba, and all those things. See, sometimes in some worldly trend, you know, she was emphasizing the place of, you must actually check to know. Some trend might look laudable. You know, I look like, it's not bad. Oh, fine, go on fashion. If you hook your life on fashion, you will pass away. The Bible calls it the fashion. This world has its fashion of the world. So there's a way to dress properly, my sisters. You know, there are some things you should not wear. And it's not so about, you know, when that scripture talks about expensive. It's not always about the tag. How much is it? You know, you can dress well and you are not breaking the bank. You can be so creative with your dressing. You know, many times, me, I always look at my wardrobe. I know you do. How to remove some things and audit. Anybody that is going to the Lord always audits their wardrobe and just take some things out. You know one rule? Any clothes that you have in your wardrobe that is sitting there, you've not worn it weeks, months, you should take it out. But it's not for you. Some other people need it. But you know, many times we say, I don't have clothes. And when you say you don't have clothes, actually, what you mean is that I don't know what to wear. It's too much. Somebody who has three clothes, like Bishop was saying, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you know, you don't know what to wear. That's your problem. Anytime you are confused, it's because you are too much. But I'm saying that there's a way to dress properly, my sisters. You can't come to church on a Sunday and you're dressing shabbily. You can't just say, I want to be alone. You dress well. You know, some people's dressing is why they've never been seen. It's true. There's a way you package yourself, your adornment. So you see that dressing? I want us to go with owning it. Owning how to, you know, carry ourselves and dress properly. You know, dress in a way that even, and the Holy Ghost will say, you look good. Because many times we dress how we feel. I know sisters that when you know the pressure of life are eating. I remember when this, my sister, ask her many times that I used to come and meet you. Are you okay? You know, those times she was going through pressure. There are some sisters, when the pressure of I'm still single is hitting them, you can see it in their dressing. There's no makeup. You just know. Don't you see them say, what is wrong with you? You say, I'm fine. You say, you don't look fine. Because beauty is firstly inward. And many times we see it in how you dress. I'm telling you, some of my single sisters are just giving up that, we've been coming to this church. Nobody has seen us. Kashi Akosi. You just enter anyhow and come to church. Please pay attention to your adornment. You go to weddings. I think somebody I met in weddings. What is a wedding now? Even if it is not your wedding, the way you are arrangement, I don't like it though. It's not good. Bible says we should rejoice with those who are rejoicing. You should rejoice. You should look good. There is the bride, but there's the Ore Yawo. Even the Ore Yawo, don't we know them? You know Ore Yawo are incoming brides. If you're not married, dress like an incoming bride. Incoming, yeah. So, but he said, but not only this. So you can see that you can have a company who is not paying attention to this. You can have a company whose focus is this. Are you saying? As I say, Satan is wicked. Satan will just hook us. We must propose that you not go get me. Can you not give me that first Peter? He said, don't let it be just that which is sin. Let it be, you know, the hidden mask. So let it be the what? Inner beauty of the hidden person of the what? So it means that there are two kinds of adornment you must be adorning. There's the adornment of the person within, and there's the adornment of the person without. Of the hidden person. You see that hidden person? Gungon is those fruits with the what? Imperishable what? Quality and unfading charm of a what? Gentle and peaceable spirit. So when it comes to the hidden person within, it's not clothes, it's not jewelry. There's something they call jewelry in the spirit. There's something they call clothing in the spirit. There's something they call adornment, that covering. All of those things have its own interpretation. And you see, when they're talking of adornment, I think once this scripture is clearly spells out what one of those adornments we need. He called it quiet and spirit and what? Meek. He says, which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which in the sight of God is a what? You see, this thing, I used to ponder on it. What, when you say price, Stameg, it means a meek and quiet spirit is a price I'm paying for what? Bible says, in the sight of God. You see, if I do meek and quiet spirit, I can have visibility in the sight of God. God will see me. How did they see Mary, the mother of Jesus? They saw her. They say, God, remember me. They can't remember us yet. When this conversation we have not had done with. A woman who has adorned herself with being meek, with quiet spirit. They see her. They see, I see you, peekaboo. I see you. They see you. They see you. He said, it's a price. That thing used to like, what price? What am I buying? What am I paying for? What am I paying? It means that meek and quiet spirit, what you are prizing as a reward, it means there's an end. You know, and when you say meek, gentle, humble, teachable, say teachable. Teachable. Ah, you see this teachable thing? See, can I tell us one scam that they tell us that every woman is teachable? Naturally, I don't think every woman is teachable. It's a scam when you think that you are teachable. You know that thinking can just give you one mind that says that I'm teachable, I'm learning, and you are learning nothing. Because when you say teachable, teachable means that you are putting yourself in a way that you can learn. You can be so full of many things and you are not teachable. You see, meekness is also a strength that is submitted to God, that is not driven by pride or aggression. You can imagine a meek person being aggressive. You see, a person that does not need to dominate to prove herself. When you see a meek person, she doesn't need, you know, when she was telling, giving an example that when you are with somebody who has had a conversation of meekness, there's no hair, there's no pretense. If you like self, pretend to anything. Korea. You know, have you been with somebody that does not even see you? Go with all your gushy and everything. He doesn't even know what it is. Innocent of it. He doesn't want to dominate anything. He doesn't want to dominate a conversation. You know, the person is just living. And you know when you say quietness is not being quiet. Though. It's not that I don't talk. You know, there are some sisters here. You might not talk much, but it doesn't mean you're quiet. She talked about the dumb and the deaf family. Quietness means you have an inner calmness and peace. You are not restless. You are not quarrelsome. That's being quiet. Nothing is shaking inside of you. A heart that can trust God and is settled in Him. You know, you can see that many of us are not quiet. You can be sitting, not saying, pim, but man, you are not settled. You are not at peace. A lot of single sisters are not quiet. They are thinking, when am I going to get married? When will my life fall into place? When am I like, you know, take shape? When will I? No, my sisters. So this ornament, God wants us to have it. Because it's a prize, though. Anything that is a prize is a big deal. I want to be in the visibility of God. When they are counting the generation of meek and quiet women, I want to be part of that generation. I want to be that woman who is raised. Woman who can overcome all the wiles of Satan. Satan has a lot of wiles for us as a woman. Let me tell you, see these wiles? It doesn't respect marriage. It doesn't respect the estate of a woman. It is there. And it will be fully for to assume that when they are married, their welfare is accomplished. Your welfare just multiplied. The same way is troubling single woman. Because you see, the enmity of Satan with woman, it is a lifelong enmity. You see, let us stop being the friend of Satan. As a woman, let me tell you, the mouth of God pronounced it. I will put enmity between the woman and her seed. That is Amy. And my seed. Two things. So, Satan is not our friend. You know that prophecy that mentioned that there's a voice of the adversary that has counseled many of us in our marriages. He has counseled us against our husband. Let me tell you that is the doorway that the enemy uses to latch on a lot of our bodies and our children. Is that doorway of rebellion. Let me tell you, let's have fear. You know, there was one thought the Lord has been dangling over my heaven, the issue of fear. Let's have fear. Let's not be audacious. The world is raising audacious women. Being audacious in folly is not faith. It doesn't mean you're a woman of faith. A lot of women talk bold, but check them well. What is that boldness resting on? Before a woman is my woman crush, I don't listen to what the person says. I will just hear, I can never share their message. Because after a while, you regret that thing is not telling. What is in doctrine? Please, let's have fear. You know? Say, woman that fears the Lord, she shall be what? I see that this world is raising women that don't have fear. They are being praised. They are being raised. You hear a woman that says, I'm a self-made woman. You hear a woman that talks a lot, glowing about her independence. You see, the world is causing women to discover that a woman has strength. But it is not how the Lord has purposed strength in a woman. That's why, you know, there's a gospel that's beating down women. But there's a gospel that the world is teaching that is raising some women that have a form of strength in quotes, but without fear. A woman that fears the Lord, a woman that fears his word, a woman that fears what the Lord says on this matter, she shall be praised. The Egyptian midwives, why did God give them a house? The Bible says he gave them a house. That is, he gave them households. He said because they feared God more than Pharaoh. And for me, I like that kind of fear. That I will fear the Lord more than this world. More than what people will say. More than how I feel. That I will fear the Lord. To fear Pharaoh, Pharaoh was a god in Egypt. And you know that thing, when I read that thing and the Lord explained it to me, I began to see that this woman went into the palace of Pharaoh because he sent for them. And they were going, cuckoo, cuckoo, and they told Pharaoh that we are not, you understand, as in, oh, they even shaded Egyptian women. That, see, Egyptian women, they are only you. You see this one, they are lively. They had that boldness to talk to Pharaoh. You see, that is the kind of fear. God wants to raise women that in the midst of, in the front of the enemy, they can be audacious to believe the Lord. That is to show you that these women, they had quiet spirits. They had peace. And they could bring down everything. I don't know what Satan is speaking over you. And I don't know what he's raising as an accusation. I don't know what he's raising that will make you think that your life has to follow this pattern. But can you fear the Lord more? And choose to obey him and hold on. God wants to raise a company of women that fear him. Satan is removing fear from. You know when Mommy Meg was talking about independence? Me, I just wonder what Satan is tampering with fear. Women don't have fear. It is lack of fear that a woman will give herself outside of marriage. And damn every consequences to a man. Are you understanding that? It's because there's no fear. As a wife, we must have fear. When our husband says, don't, me, I don't have that boldness. So, say, don't go there. I tell some things me, I know fit do because I say, I know that Satan hates me. So, he's just looking for an occasion to get me. He will not get me. I pray I will not come under a wrong influence. These are some wrong influence that will possess a woman. You just come, oh, mama, misbehave. You know, have you seen some women? Spirits used to trouble women. No? I've seen that. Gentile, it's like there's one spirit that is wronging me, that is doing me. Leave me alone. I had a friend. She had a generation. You know, generation of women that they are not stayed married. Her mother, her aunties, all around her. She now married a man. The thing will be doing now, pack out of your house. There's no praise reports. All the unpraise reports around her are women who left their husbands and nothing happened. Nothing spoiled. You tell me that her. When she talks, I will talk to her. You tell me I shall know that. That if I can continue to obey this spirit that wants to carry me out of, she was able to know that there was a spirit. He will leave me. I will celebrate 10 years anniversary. She used to say that if I can do 10 years, I will do all the other year. And things happened. May God help us in the name of Jesus. Amen.
We believe you have been enlightened through the ministry of the Word and Spirit, bringing you into a much deeper understanding of God's eternal purpose and plan. To find out more about us and our meetings, visit us at 12 Akinwusinyemi Street off Allen Road, Ikeja, Lagos. You can also contact us on our website at www.lostyouchurch.org or call us on +234 9042 850714. Remain blessed.